All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. We have absolutely zero AC here in the podcast room tonight on a very hot night here in the
It's very hot.
Very hot here in the
state. One of the hottest.
One of the hottest. The hottest ever right now. So if you see some sweat pouring down halfway through the podcast or in the next 10 minutes, you'll know why. Why the AC's out. Well, we have no idea. And the three of us can't fix it. But anyway, so it's out. But anyway, let me say it to everybody in the chat tonight, the Rumble chat tonight. Granite 2468 is on. Producer Aaron is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Bonnie Four is on. General Pileman is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Skunk71 is on. Agravain is on. Mike Griffith is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Dead Plant is on. Peg McGroin is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Lady Vu is on. Alligator Alcatraz is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. D9597 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Let me see here. Gloyd Shaw is on. Salty Gonads is on. Captain Cliff 525 is on. Hotshot Insights is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Scrolling down here, Arcadia Angel is on. TJT1 is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Scrolling down, D9597 is on. Veronica18201 is on. Let me grab one or two more here. NateDad1 is on. Goozy600 is on. Keeper1376 is on. Charlie340 is on. Golfin' Rocky is on. I'm seeing new ones as we go. Drummer for Jesus is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Let's go to the border first here. Fox News tweet. As a matter of fact, just leave that for a second, guys. I got to give you a couple things off of the pregame. Forgot about that. You can bring it back to me for just a second. But anyway, here it is. I got to address what's happening in Texas. So you have all of the rogue Democrats who fled the state, ran to the worst, the most gerrymandered state in the union. Two of the most gerrymandered states in the union actually hit in a facility called the Q in Illinois and also fled to California and hid under the shelter of Gavin Newsom's stinky wing. So they were there, and so they wouldn't have to have it, so they couldn't form a quorum to vote on the redistricting, the gerrymandering in Texas. So then they come back, and you figure, I remember we played the videos of all the very stern speech by the Speaker of the House in Texas about what was going to happen to the Democrats. They removed their direct deposit. They weren't getting paid unless they showed up at the House. A lot of other things, can't remember. It's been actually a couple weeks, so I don't remember it. All of it. But anyway, very stern measures. Warrants were allegedly issued. I remember hearing about that. Ken Paxton, warrants were issued for their arrest because they're actually breaking the law when you flee the state like that if you are a sitting member of the state Congress or Senate. So they were committing crimes. And so, and Aaron just said this was part of being his generation. It's why his generation is very politically agnostic. Nothing changes. Nothing happens. Nothing ever happens. Give me a little Trump, nothing happens, Aaron.
Nothing happens.
There it is.
It never does. Never will. Believe me.
There it is, Trump himself. But so what happened when the Democrats came back? Well, I have the stats for you. Zero arrests. they were all treated. Not one removal. Some of them were supposed to be removed from their seats. Not one was removed from their seat. Zero arrests, and they're actually greeted with hugs by Republicans. And then not only that, but the Republicans actually prioritized their own agenda, and they left all the Democrats in charge of their committees. You're like, Tom, it's not possible for Democrats to be in charge of committees when the Republicans are in the majority. Oh, my foolish friend. You are, of course, correct. You are correct, and that's the way it works, of course. In every House and every Senate in the United States of America, including every state Senate, state House. If you are in the majority, then you aren't allowed to run committees. But not in the state of Texas. For some reason, in the state of Texas, Republicans allow Democrats to run committees when they're in the majority. You're like, explain that to me. I've already explained it a million times. If you're new to this podcast, here's a brief explanation. There is no such thing as Republican and Democrat. There is center leftists and there are mega leftists. That's it. With a few notable exceptions. There's always some exceptions somewhere. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's an exception. Trump's an exception. These are right-wingers. Thomas Massey's an exception. Ron Johnson's an exception. Rand Paul's an exception. That doesn't mean perfect, just exceptional. So, and Brian Harrison is in the State House. That was the one that was on Bannon in the pregame. he was the one who just simply put out these stats. And you're like, well, why in the world would Democrats be in charge of committee, be heads of committee in a state that is, I mean, you're talking about a supermajority of Republicans, because they're not really conservatives. They want to usher forward the center leftist agenda in a more palatable way. Therefore, they'll vote on pro-life but never actually do anything. Like Aaron said, nothing's done. They'll vote on it whenever it has no impact. They'll say conservative things whenever there's no impact. They'll campaign as a conservative so that they win the seat. So a legitimate conservative, once an incumbent wins the seat, very hard to get them out. So once they win the seat, they just come back and they campaign as a conservative and legislate as a center leftist or pure leftist. That's what's happening in the state. And last thing, no redistricting so far either. That's weird. Mm. Thought they were going to redistrict the whole state.
Yeah.
No, that hadn't happened yet. Weird, isn't it? They're saying all these guys and ladies, they campaign as pro-Trump MAGA people and then legislate like Kamala Harris. And that's just the truth. There's no other way to put it in any other sort of verbiage. That is what's happening. That's what's happening in Washington, D.C., is you have, whether it was all the way back before Mike Johnson, when it was Paul Ryan as the Speaker of the House, never, ever accomplished anything for Trump. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Unless it's the Big Beautiful Bill, which continues Biden-level spending. That's weird. Whenever it's something in common with Democrats, that actually gets passed. But when it's something that's actually diametrically opposed to the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist agenda, that never seems to get passed. We're $37 trillion in debt. And adding $1 million worth of debt every 22 seconds. That's where we're at right now. And this the one other thing off the pregame, the lies that were told. If you just look at everything that was told by a Democrat in the pregame, Rachel Maddow talking about Alpha Bank. This is all under the collusion, Russian collusion narrative. Alpha Bank, lie. The collusion itself, lie. When you get vaxxed, it stops the virus in its place. You're no longer a vector. Lie. Then you have Charlie Kirk. He's debating at Oxford. And one of these Oxford students, I say, oh, baby, in Oxford, I say, it's Oxford. These are supposed to be the absolute highest intellects on the planet going to Oxford. They actually get up and say that America is deporting Americans. Not one of these things is true. And Charlie Kirk says, I'll give you £1,000 right now if you can name them. Can't. They actually named Kilmore Abrego Garcia, who is a citizen of El Salvador. That's how delusional the left is. And then you have the complicit right in the State House of Texas. All right, let's go to the border. Fox News tweet, migrant crimes against children pile up in Boston area as mayor slams Bondi over her sanctuary warning. Bondi sent, I don't know how, can't remember now, I read it, but I can't remember how many, 13, 14 letters to governors and to sanctuary cities, mayors. Obviously, this is the mayor right here. Mayor Wu, of course, from China. Aaron, give it to me.
China.
There you go. So it's very strange. I mean, you have these very powerful figures. Always from China. Go all over Canada. You want a powerful figure? They'll be Chinese. Watch. Just watch. I mean, it's strange, isn't it? But anyway, she sent these letters around the country to sanctuary cities, to sanctuary states, sanctuary mayors, sanctuary governors, and was saying to them, you know what? If you don't stop being a sanctuary jurisdiction, then you are no longer going to receive federal funds. Now, all of these people are very offended by that, as if they're not going to survive without these federal funds. They should be able to survive. Since this is supposed to be a federalistic constitutional republic, everybody shouldn't be relying on federal funds anyway. Because basically in your state, all you should be relying on federal funds for are things that you're uninvolved with. You have the local FBI office. You got the I-75, Interstate 75, whatever it may be. That should have no involvement with you at all. But these jurisdictions are all very heavily dependent on federal funds. So they're very, very offended by this. And here you have Wu. But the problem is that these people are rejoicing in the fact that children are being raped. It doesn't bother Wu at all, because Wu is surrounded by guns and surrounded by walls, surrounded by 24/7 security. So she's not worried about illegal immigrants raping her, raping her children, or anybody that she's associated with, because they're all surrounded by guns and walls that she doesn't want anybody else to have but herself. So let's look at this staying in Boston for just a moment, off the press video. Here's how they actually opened. Aaron, side by side, this one. This is true. You're like, no, this has to be parody. No, I wish it was. I wish you could. I wish this was parody. I wish that was. And look how they quote the scripture in the back there. Allegedly, Jesus says, "Break all the laws and welcome the rapists, welcome the stranger, welcome those who are violating the law." These are probably the same people that quoted Romans 13 during COVID. Obey your ruling authorities. But anyway, off the press video, Massachusetts Democrats have a mariachi singer perform before a press conference defending their sanctuary cities. And Aaron, you correct me if I'm wrong, and actually correct me during the video. Mm-hmm. Is this person singing on key? Because, I mean, if they're not singing on key, you can't even hire a mariachi singer who sings on key. Play for me. Bajando por el sendero de la sierra la pradera, va musicando sus quejas con su flautín de carrizo, seguido por sus ovejas como si fuera un hechizo. Everybody, ujuya. I think that lady was getting a cattle prod up her anal puppet chute like every couple seconds. Like was she Bill flatten off key? But anyway, that's Democrats. This is what it means to be a Democrat. I mean, think about how foolish. I mean, maybe you're a Democrat is watching this right now. That's your party. I mean, I don't like the Republican Party. I am one. I love the Republican platform, but I hate the Republican Party, even though I've never voted anything but Republican. I'm just saying, because they're cowards. The Democrats are evil. Republicans are cowards, and bent over cowards at that. Speaking of, cattle prods up the anal puppet chute. But anyway, this is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. And I will say this about the Republicans. At least we never open up any of our press conferences or any of our ceremonies that way. I mean, any event, we don't open up our events that way. I mean, there you have. Of course, they go on the nose with an Hispanic mariachi band going up there having a lady sing off key and flat. But anyway, so here's another one for you. Town Hall, same ceremony, same event. Townhall.com video. This preteen, this girl that's about to speak. I don't know how long I'll let this go, but anyway, because it's nauseating. But anyway, this preteen is about to speak, was born in Boston to two illegal Salvadorian nationals. She says her parents have had temporary means what? Anybody know? That would mean temporary. Temporary protective status, which usually lasts 12 to 18 months for over 20 years. And of course, now they have their anchor baby, which of course, birthright citizenship is a constitutional farce. When people call it a constitutional issue, it is not. It's for those that are under the authority therein. People who illegally enter this country are not under the authority they're in. If they were, they would never enter the country illegally. Would everybody understand and agree with that? But here she is. Play for me.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Pineda, and I am 12 years old. I am a U.S. citizen, and I was born in East Boston. I will start 7th grade at East Boston High School soon. My parents and I are members of Centro Presente. My mother and father are from El Salvador. They immigrated to the United States more than 20 years ago, fleeing the world in poverty like most immigrants. My parents are not criminals. They only came to this country to seek safety and to work hard. Last May, I...
That's good. So there she is. Now, she says that her parents aren't criminals. They are. Her dad is being in the process of being deported right now. They're here for under temporary protective status, which lasts for 1 year. And they have extenuated that for 20 years. So it ran out 17, 18, 19 years ago. They've been here illegally. And they make sure that they have their birthright citizenship anchor baby. You know what? You basically screw all of these people, including her, and she should be deported too. The kids should be deported, mom should be deported, dad should be deported. And all the Democrats are like, oh, you're just a heartless bleep. No, that's the law. They would all want the law enforced if they were being physically attacked. Do we all sit back and say, well, you know, we're just choosing not to enforce the law right now? We're not enforcing the assault statute right now because we don't feel like doing it because it's not politically beneficial for us to do so. So you know what? We're not going to enforce it while you're being attacked or while you're being gang raped or whatever it may be. We're not going to We're not going to enforce that statute right now. No, crime is crime. And these people all need to be deported, every last one of them. And they all need to self-deport so maybe they can have a chance of coming back in if they want to under legal status. But that's, so they just trot this out, and it's the endless conflation. It's the Adam Schiff conflation. Adam Schiff has claimed prior that he had his primary residency in two different locations for the last 2 decades, filling out every mortgage application to get favorable mortgage rates, lying. It's all felony fraud. What he's doing, felony mortgage fraud. And then what his answer is everybody's coming against me because they don't want me to have two residences. Yes, two residences are involved in this situation, but that has nothing to do with why people are coming after you. So he conflates the non-issue with the issue. Same thing here. These are our fellow residents. Oh, yeah, there are fellow residents, all right, against our will. So that, in fact, is true that they are our fellow residents because they do, in fact, live here. But that's conflating. That's not the issue that they live here. The issue is, how do they live here? How did it come about that they are now living here? That's the issue. And it's the endless conflation all the time. No, I don't want to put a mask on. Sure, you're 4 people dying. Dying of what? No, I'm against putting a mask on because this is a 99.997% survival virus, so it's not worthy of a mask. Second of all, masks do nothing. So that's why I won't put a mask on. So you want people to die then? No, now you're conflating me wanting people to die with me not putting a mask on. It has nothing to do with me wanting people to die. It has to do with the nonsensical nature of putting on a mask for a respiratory virus that the mask can never block to begin with. See the conflation? It's always that way. So to be a Democrat in 2025, and you can side by side that one for me real quick, would you? You have to be on the side of this guy. Everybody knows who this is. I never got to the story on Monday, and it happened, I believe, over the weekend. This guy killed 3 people right here in the state of Florida by making an illegal U-turn on one of our interstates. I can't remember which road it was on. I don't know if it was 75 or 95 or one of the small ones, but it's a 4-lane monstrous interstate. And he made an illegal U-turn in a full-size semi. And you'll see the video. The video is right here. And in a minivan with 3 passengers smashed into it, killing all 3 people on board. This guy was given his commercial driver's license, the CDL. Can anybody guess what governor? I mean, can anybody guess? I'm just curious. Oh, that'd be Gavin Newsom. He was given his CDL license, which you have to qualify for. You have to take tests for. You have to memorize road signs and everything else. Well, here it is. Here's the latest story. This was from like 3-4 hours before the podcast started. Knew the illegal immigrant who is accused of taking 3 American lives. There's no accusation. It's on video. So Colin's being nice. American lives while making an illegal U-turn was only able to accurately identify 1 of 4 highway traffic signs during his FMCSA interview. Play for me. Hey, if you would, Aaron, just mute it, run it side by side. I mean, I know everybody's already gone through this, but what Aaron said, I just couldn't resist it anymore. Yeah, just run the same video again, guys. Same one. Colin Rugg, there you go. Just mute it and run it side by side. But anyway, I mean, look at the guy's facial expressions. I mean, it really is unreal. He just killed 3 people. Run it all the way back to the beginning for me one more time, guys. Just scoot it back there. I mean, look at, watch him. Now, here, watch. 3 people are about to die. Okay, right here. They're dead. He never even flinches. He doesn't care at all because, listen, these people, and everyone, you call me a racist, xenophobic, whatever you want, these are low IQ people. Look at this guy. He doesn't care. 3 people are dead. He doesn't care at all. He immediately just moved back to California. Of course, what a shock. That's where he comes from, is California. He has no caring at all. These people are inbred low IQ people. And they're like, how dare you say it's got nothing to do with their race. It has nothing to do with their race. It has to do with their belief system. And they have very low IQs when you're coming from these Muslim countries. And that's just the way that it is. Now, he may be an exception, have extremely high. He either has an extremely low IQ or he's a psychopath. Because who would be? I mean, if that was you and I, we'd be screaming and crying. And I've worked incidents like this. I'd still be screaming and crying. I spent 25 years working incidents like this, okay? I would be screaming and crying right here. If I witnessed it, look at him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There was no, Nothing. I mean, all of us in this room, all of you watching, we like, oh my gosh, that's how we'd all, nothing to this guy. Because it doesn't register. If you're wondering how it is that you look at, and again, I could spend, and maybe I just need to do it, just spend 1 week and dedicate it to one issue. That'd be kind of fun. It'd probably get boring though for everybody watching. But anyway, especially with how I talk and talk and talk. But anyway, if you watch all of these various immigrant videos that are in the EU, whether whatever country it is, whether it's France, whether it's UK, whether it's Spain, whether it's Norway, all of them have record now rape rates, even with the government manipulating statistical data, which they do constantly, to make it look like Muslims are committing less rapes than they actually are. It's absolutely rampant rape. You can bring it back to me, guys. Everyone doesn't need to keep watching that crap over and over again. So, but if you're like, you look at it and you're like, why are these people committing all of these crimes? A lot of it is they don't have any cognitive understanding. They really don't. I'm just telling you, like, they're coming from countries and from cultures that are very low IQ, and many of them are inbred. They have a major inbreeding. This is all proven statistical data right out of, what is it called then? It's the NH something out of National Health something out of the UK. They had to come up with special governmental provisions for the inbreeding problem, namely from Pakistani immigrants. Because inbreeding causes a lot of medical issues, SIDS and everything else. So they had to come up with that. Most of those, and again, they manipulate stats. And I don't like NHS, thank you, or National Health Service, thank you. They manipulate the stats. I hate to go over the same things I've gone over before, but people miss it. And I want everyone to understand that the stats are manipulated there just like they are here, whether it's COVID stats or DC crime stats and everything else. They're all manipulated. And how they manipulate the stats in England is only whenever the only time they ever count anything as Muslim is first generation Muslim. In other words, the person who just came over on a boat in 2025. First generation Muslim. Anybody who's been there for like 2-3 years is no longer counted as a first generation Muslim or a first generation citizen. They are now counted as a heritage citizen. People that have been there their whole life. If they've been there for 2 years, that's how they count. So all of the rapes that are committed by non-Muslim first generation, all the rapes that are committed by Muslims who are not first generation are counted as committed by UK citizens. You see how that works? So you got a guy who's been in the country raping kids for 3 years. All of his rapes don't even count if they were done after his first year in the country. They don't count against the Muslim statistics. See how it works? That's what they do. So basically, all the rapes are committed by Muslims, but only 1/3 of them are actually attributed to Muslims. The rest of them are attributed to UK citizens, and nobody ever looks into what's their heritage. It's Muslims. They're low IQ. They're inbred. They don't even know half the time they're committing crimes. Or if they do, they're just too stupid to understand that there's repercussions for crime. Tom, you're a racist. No, I'm telling you what is actually true. These stats have all been run. That the low IQs coming out of certain countries, the inbreeding coming out of certain countries, and what are all these bourgeois globalist leftists, and by leftists I also mean complicit Republicans like Lindsey Graham, like Mitch McConnell, like Ted Cruz, all these complicit Republicans that also usher them in to first world countries. Because they're very easily globally governed when they're stupid. That's the whole point, because all of these people that claim to be right-wingers are central leftists who are just trying to usher forward the globalist leftist, bourgeois elitist agenda in a more palatable way so there's not a big uprising. Let's go to the next one. Libs of TikTok, Libs of Chicago video. Libs of Chicago video. Remember when Democrats told you that illegal immigrants do not receive any sort of benefits funded by taxpayers? Not so much. Let's look at Illinois. Play it for me.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker could be a 2028 contender for the Democrats. Just signed a law that allows illegal immigrants to receive financial aid. This is what Congresswoman Mary Miller had to say about this. She said, allowing taxpayer-funded financial aid for illegal aliens is a slap in the face to hardworking Illinois families and students. Our state is drowning in debt, yet J.B. Pritzker is determined to drain even more taxpayer dollars to reward illegals. It's absolutely shameful, but this is something that they're going to latch onto all the way to the midterms.
100%, and Congressman, the Congresswoman is absolutely correct and accurate in her articulation.
actually look at, you bring it back to me, you just look at the statistical data. Again, it's an 80-20 issue, and the Democrats are siding with the 20% who believe in giving financial aid to immigrants. In other words, making yourself a magnet sanctuary state for immigrants, because you go there and you get free college tuition, you get free school tuition, you get free financial aid that never has to be paid back. In a state, as the state congresswoman said, in a state that's drowning in debt, every single blue state is drowning in debt. Go to Florida. We're not. We're not drowning in debt. We don't have any debt. But in the state of Illinois, drowning in debt. That's why they're so upset. And I guarantee you, Pritzker got a letter from Bondi telling him this continues to, you continue to finance this, because again, where's that money coming from? That money is coming from the federal government. As soon as Gavin Newsom's illegal Medicaid system got defunded by Donald Trump, he stopped offering it. He was giving free Medicaid services, and don't dare call it Medicaid to a Democrat. It's not Medicaid. It's Cade of Medic. It's not Medicaid. It's California Cade of Medic. It's not Medicaid. That's the games they play. Little superficial, ridiculous games. But anyway, it was all federally funded by you and I, $37 trillion in debt. We are funding. This is like we fund through NGOs, which is funded by the federal government. That's all our government's about, is forming and funding NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats. We are funding the border invasion, the border infiltration. We're funding that through Catholic Family Services and Jewish Family Services. Well, the same thing went in California. We were funding their illegals Medicaid system. And as soon as that was pulled, Gavin ended it. Weird, isn't it? That's exactly what needs to happen here. Pull the funding. That is federal funding. That's not coming from the state. That's federal funding, because J.B. Fatboy Pritzker believes that he can buy votes doing this. So that's why he's doing it. And you and I are paying for this stuff, and all of that needs to be cut. That's true conservatism, to conserve money, to be fiscally responsible. Of course, Republican Party lives in just abject hypocrisy to that, and just is the abject opposite of financial responsibility. We're $37 trillion in debt. Whatever, George W. Bush, $8 trillion. Hussein Obama, $11 trillion. Donald Trump, $6 trillion. Biden, $10 trillion. And Trump is on a course of spending $2 trillion over what revenues brought in right now in his first, the big, beautiful bill. So, I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, I don't like it. Trump, if anybody can overcome that via revenue, it will be Trump, but we'll see. That's what he claims. If you clock this right now, every 22 seconds you add, 22 seconds from right now will be $598 million on that, because it's 1 million every 22 seconds that we are currently spending. I don't think we need to be spending our money for financial aid for illegals under J.B. Pritzker's Illinois. Would everybody agree? All right, let's go to the next one. Paul Sperry should be stopping all over things right now. Breaking, newly declassified FBI documents reveal the FBI's Los Angeles field office was investigating at least, get these numbers, 19 Clinton Foundation bank accounts for possible campaign finance fraud. 19 bank accounts? Aaron, how many bank accounts you got?
Two.
All right. Yeah, that's about it. I have one. So that's it. Most people have, if you're some of the people have a business account, a personal account. Some people have one or two business accounts, whatever it may be. They have 19 bank accounts. Who has 19 bank accounts outside of the Bidens, who had, 23 shell companies? Was investigating at least 19 Clinton Foundation bank accounts for possible campaign finance fraud in 2016 and 17 before the Justice Department shut down the sensitive investigation down. Why would that happen? Why would it ever be shut down? And I mean, I can sit here and yell and scream about the obvious, so I'm not going to do it. We all know why it was shut down, because we have a two-tier justice system. If that was you and I, and we were running a shell game, we were running a Ponzi scheme, we were running a fraudulent 501c3, a fraudulent charitable organization, where they brought in tax returns was 30. They brought in $36 million in 1 year. Gave away, they spent all $36 million, and of the $36 million that they spent, they gave away $5 million. That's a charity. So they spent $31 million to give away $5 million, while Bill Clinton flew around the globe on his private jets and got paid for speeches that were facilitated by that organization. So not only does the organization receive millions and millions and millions of dollars to pay Billy to charter private flights to go speak in Moscow for $500,000. It's a fact, by the way. Then he gets paid the $500,000. It's not even part of the foundation that he gets to keep. So his own foundation facilitates his own personal financial aggrandizement. Imagine that. I mean, what a game. But if you and I played that game, we'd be in federal prison for the rest of our lives. And many people are. I mean, look at it. I mean, Bernie Madoff, the rest of his life was in federal prison until he died in prison. One right after another. Enron officials prosecuted into bankruptcy. All doing the exact same thing the federal government is doing. John Gotti, same thing. Al Capone, same thing. What's the difference? What's the difference? The federal government is every bit as bad or worse than the Clinton Foundation. All committing crimes. Counterfeiting and everything else. But there it was, to shut down for no reason. 19 separate bank accounts. The FBI was actually investigating, and it was just shut down. And again, this is not some sort of mystery shrouded in mist. There's not something that needs to be figured out here. You know, it's not something where you're like, well, there's it's hidden behind a bunch of other things. No, there's no hiding it. They just simply shut it down for no conceivable reason, no justifiable reason whatsoever. So there you go. And all this is coming to light now. And you're like, will anything happen or will it be like Texas? We have a chance under Trump. We have a chance. If it was just Bondi, I'd say no. But we have a chance. I wish it was Matt Gaetz. I wish it was Ken Paxton. But under Trump, we have a chance. And there are, according to John Solomon from Just the News, there are at least four, maybe five grand juries that have already been impaneled investigating all of these things. So we will see. All right, go to the next one for me. Old story, but I'll make sure everybody's up to date with it. I'm not going to read this entire thing, but Donald Trump from yesterday. I'm going to lead a movement to get rid of mail-in ballots. And also, while we're at it, highly inaccurate, very expensive, and seriously controversial voting machines, which cost 10 times more. So why would you ever spend 10 times more money to become more technologically advanced? Aren't you supposed to? And by the way, it's not a one-time expenditure. They continue to be 10 times more expensive to use than people sitting there counting watermarked paper ballots. So why are we doing it? Because there's no reason to justify it. And by the way, most of the rest of the world, with the exception of places like Venezuela, which we'll get to in a minute, like places like Brazil, they're having, I mean, very, very much fraudulent elections, fake elections, that are just electing the totalitarian, whether it's Lula, whether it's Maduro, over and over again, via these machines that are very easily manipulated, are hooked up to the internet, even though nobody claims to hook up to the internet, but they fail when they're not hooked up to the internet. And they actually put out newspapers. The same people whether it's New York Times or whatever, claim they're not hooked up to the internet, will run a headline saying that these machines broke down because there's no internet connection. You're like, Tom, that makes absolutely no sense. That's the modern 2025 Democratic Party. That's the way that it is. I've seen it. There's a headline. Voting machines break down in such and such Arizona because there was an internet interruption. How can that happen when you've told us for years there is no internet connection? And they don't. These people don't even. They're like that truck driver. They're brain dead. They're brain damaged. They're inbred. They're inbred politically. They don't even have a hitch in their giddy up for even a second. There's no hesitation as they just spout nonsensical things. So Donald Trump is putting an end to mail-in balloting. Why do we have mail-in balloting anyway? We only have mail-in balloting. There should only be mail-in balloting for people who can prove via a doctor's report that they are infirmed, or for our military. That's it. Why have we switched to mail-in balloting everywhere with no ID and no signature verification? Why is that? So Democrats can win elections. That's it. I mean, if you look at, like right now in California, Steve Bannon, it was either Steve Bannon or Alex Jones. Can't remember which. Those are the two shows that I watch. Brought this up because Gavin Newsom is being stifled in his redistricting efforts inside of California because nobody in California wants it. How's that possible when we only get three seats out of that whole? It's nine seats, I think it is, out of California. Why is that? How is it that most people in California are against Gavin Newsom's redistricting and we lose that state in a landslide by 20 points every time it's a national election? Because it's all fake. These are fake ballots. I guarantee you there's more Republicans than Democrats. It's everything I'm telling you right now. Aaron's all on board with this. He's been watching Alex Jones since he was four. Okay? So I'm just telling you, he's been red pilled for a long time. Everything is fake.
Yeah.
Everything you see, Kamala Harris couldn't win one state when they have signature verification, where they have voter ID requirements of any level. Some of those voter ID requirements are actually absolutely ridiculous, like in the state of Michigan. They're a ridiculous requirement. I mean, they barely are a requirement. But when there was any sort of requirement at all, she lost. At all. And some, again, some of these requirements aren't even really requirements, okay? They're more suggestions than requirements. When there is even a suggestion of voter ID or signature verification, she lost every state. I'm telling you right now, if you don't have these fraudulent elections, these fraudulent voting systems, these fraudulent voting machines in these jurisdictions where they're putting up cardboard so you can't look in and see how the votes are being counted, Democrats lose every election. Go to the next one for me. Here's how Gavin Newsom responded to that Truth Social post. And Gavin's trying to be Trump now. Everyone's covering it. Everyone's caught on. I think we were one of the first to say it.
Yeah.
Because everyone's now on board with the Fox News. Everyone, we were one of the first to say it. I think Aaron spotted it more than anybody. Because he wrote like all caps and all like Trump or whatever. He's trying to be Trump. He wants to be arrested like Trump and everything else. But I guess, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But here's what he says in response to this. Trump says the quiet part out loud. Turns out if you don't suppress the vote, Democrats win. So his version of suppressing the vote is you suppress the vote when you don't do mail-in balloting. You suppress the vote when you require signature verification. You suppress the vote when you require voter ID. You suppress the vote when we want you to refresh your voter rolls. That's suppressing the vote. So what vote are you suppressing? You're voting, you're suppressing the votes of the non-existent or the illegal. That's suppressing the vote. He says the quiet part out loud. Imagine being a Democrat in 2025, and that's what you advocate for. That you honestly believe that suppressing votes means suppressing people who cannot prove who they are, not allowing people to vote who have no ID, not allowing people to vote whose signature doesn't match the signature of the person who registered under that name, that suppressing the vote means not allowing felons to vote, suppressing the vote means not allowing illegals to vote, suppressing the vote is not allowing non-existent people to vote that don't even exist except for the fact that they're on your voter rolls. Suppressing the vote means not allowing people who live in two different states to vote in both states, which is a federal crime. That's what suppressing, you know, stopping federal crime in elections to Gavin Newsom is suppressing the vote. That's how ridiculous that greasy-haired, bleached-toothed moron is. I mean, how deluded he is, how delusional he is, how pathological he is. Absolute pathological liar. Just a sociopath. All right, let's go to the next one. Jumping all over the place. Breaking, the hammer has been laid down. DNI Tulsi Gabbard, who's like risen up now, major star in the Trump administration, kind of put at the child's table for a while, but that was wrong under the Epstein stuff, but is resurrected. DNI Tulsi Gabbard just revoked security clearances for several dozens, 37 actually, and I couldn't find any of the rest of the 36. I couldn't find it. I looked on social media, but the one name that everybody knows is Jimmy Clapper has now had his security clearance revoked. I can't believe any of them had it this long under the Trump administration. This is what you have to do every single time. This is how these people make money. That's how they make money to hire Perkins Coie to sue you. That's how they make money. You know, for influence, whatever it is, you know, whatever it may be. That's how they stay in the social circles. That's how they remain relevant. Let's just defang all of these people. And that's what Trump is doing. And Tulsi Gabbard's leading the way. So that's good news. I don't know who the other 36 were. I looked. I couldn't find it. I checked Gateway Pundit. And I checked a couple tweets and nobody had it. But anyway, let's switch. All right, let's go to Maduro now. Let's go to Venezuela. Breaking 9/11 video. U.S. warships are being sent. Am I in the right one, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure because I got a picture of Caroline Levitt. U.S. warships are being sent to Venezuela. There's 4,000 Marines on board those ships. That's kind of scary. What is going on? That's not normal. That's not a normal complement. You don't normally have 4,000 Marines on Navy vessels. They're all part of the Navy, but they're not usually on these vessels unless they're going to war. Something is happening. I don't know what, but something's happening. And Caroline Levitt has asked, are you looking at boots on the ground? Play for me.
That are being sent to Venezuela, and there's 4,000 Marines on board. Are you looking at the possibility of boots on the ground there?
What I will say with respect to Venezuela, President Trump has been very clear and consistent. He's prepared to use every element of American power to stop drugs from flooding into our country and to bring those responsible to justice. The Maduro regime is not the legitimate government of Venezuela. It is a narco-terror cartel. And Maduro, it is the view of this administration, is not a legitimate president. He is a fugitive head of this cartel who has been indicted in the United States for trafficking drugs into the country. And with that, I will leave you all, and we will see you later, if not tomorrow. And I look forward to taking more of your questions. Thank you.
All right, so there we go. So anyway, that's what's happening. Now, why is that? Go to the next one for me. ABC Noticias tweet. I'm working on my Spanish accent. The son of Chapo Guzman, Ovidio Guzman, reportedly betrayed Nicolas Maduro to the U.S. as the leader of the Los Solas, which is the cartel of the sons, cartel. Ovidio allegedly spoke about how members of Maduro's government and Venezuelan military traffic drugs to the U.S., Asia, and Latin America. And also one other thing on this, where does Tren de Agua come from? Tren de Aragua, where does that come from? That would be the prison gangs out of Venezuela. Imagine how bad you have to be in a prison in Venezuela. You either have to be a political opponent of Maduro or the worst person on the planet. And those people were given the option by Maduro, you can stay in prison or agree to migrate to the United States of America and I'll release you. And they all, of course, said they'd migrate, went through the Darien Gap, entered in through the southern border, and now Democrats all want them to stay. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. I want Venezuelan prison gang members to stay in America and gang rape American citizens. That's what I want. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. It really is that simplistic. If it was happening to them, they wouldn't. But since it's not happening to them, they don't care. It's as simple as that. But that's, and now, like I said a minute ago, talking about elections and everything else, everything's a lie. Everything is a lie. And then including right here, Maduro, and this is not just the sources I'm showing you here. It turns out Maduro is actually possibly even running the Mexican drug cartels also. So Maduro is his government. You wonder why is it that the average citizen there has lost like 17 pounds? They have no food. They have no income because it's just a giant cartel. It's a giant drug trafficking cartel. And the Democratic Party supports the people that they traffic into our country to stay. The Democratic Party supports them staying. That's what it means to be a Democrat. You have Mayor Wu in Boston advocating for Tren de Aragua to stay in her city and rape children. That's what she wants. You had the mayor of Aurora do the same thing. The governor, Paulus of Colorado, same thing. You had Tren de Aragua from Venezuela owning city blocks in Aurora, Colorado, and all the Democrats want them to stay. Imagine that. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Remember, they used to be Democrats who want you to be able to smoke weed when you want, fight, rage against the machine, anti-corporatists. And now they're pro-corporation, pro-vaccine, pro-experimental drugs, pro-government control, pro-FBI, and pro-crime. Pro-rapist. That's who they are. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You actually want Tren de Aragua to stay. You're not only want them to stay, you'll politically activate to stay. You'll be an activist for them to stay. That's what it means to be a Democrat. You'll actually have a ceremony in the middle of downtown Boston. Mayor Wu have a 13-year-old girl pop up there. She's actually 12, I think. 12-year-old girl pop up there. You'll have a mariachi band open up, all to keep Tren de Aragua in your city to continue to rape women and children. That's what it means to be a Democrat. You're disgusting. Repulsive human being. Go to the next one for me. UHN plus tweet. Urgent. Ecuador declared the cartel of the sons, the one that Maduro runs, led by Nicolas Maduro and Diosdado Cabello, a terrorist group opening the door to military and intelligence operations against Chavismo. So is that what Trump's doing? I don't know. That's why they're all scared of Trump. That's why they're all scared. That's why they're scared of Trump. This is why. You know that all of the ensemble the other day, the Finnish president, Keir Starmer, Emmanuel Macron, Mertz, and all the rest of them, Vladimir Zelensky, all the rest of them sitting around the table, they all hate Trump, but they're scared to death of him. That's why they kiss his butt. Mark Rutte, President Trump, we just really appreciate you. Georgia Maloney, we just really appreciate you. All of them just kissing his butt. Why? They're terrified of him. And when you have a warship going or warships going to be off the coast of Venezuela with 400 Marines sitting on it, or was it 4,000? Whatever. But you're 4, scared. 000. What was it, Aaron?
4,000.
It was 4,000. Yeah, 4,000 Marines. That's a lot of Marines. What's going on there? I don't know. Will Trump take Venezuela? Here's my thing. I'm zero for foreign wars unless we've been attacked. Have we been attacked by Venezuela? Absolutely. When you go to your empty out your prisons and send them into the United States, we've been attacked to traffic in fentanyl, which kills 100,000 Americans per year. Aaron, you still got that list of security clearances that got canceled. I forgot all about that. Hey, Aaron found the names, of course. You got Davy Jones over there. Finding everything. So I just wanted to go through a couple of the names. Here's some of the people that lost. Some of these people, I have no idea who they are. So I'm just kind of picking out people that I know that's on here. Let's see. James Clapper is on there. Of course, we already went over. Scrolling through. John Brennan, gone. Let me see here. Leon Panetta, gone. Security leader, it's gone. Mahar Bitar, gone. Let me see some other ones here. Michael Vickers, gone. CIA, gone. Love it. Norm Eisen, gone. Love it. Love it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Norm. It's over. So I just love it. So anyway, that's good stuff. Great, great job by Trump. Great job by him. Let's go to the next one. I think we're at the skiff video. The DOJ and feds make massive arrests against cartel and gang members. Hey, which gang would anybody, can anybody guess which gang it is? Oh, it's Trende Aragua members from Colorado apartment takeover. Promises made, promises kept, as 28 people in a 39 court in a court in 28 people in a 39 count indictment are taken down in 9-month investigation tied to crimes of the Denver area apartment complex. Remember, Democrats want all these people to say. Listen to the kind of people that Democrats want to stay in this country. Play for me.
Trende Aragua leaders, members, and associates. The charges include firearms trafficking, drug trafficking, and a barbaric murder-for-hire plot in which several of the defendants agreed to kill two people for $15,000 and return their severed heads as proof of the murders for just an extra $5,000. The charges tell a story of people selling guns and drugs. Lots of them.
The U.S. Attorney for Colorado announcing the indictment of 30 people allegedly connected to the criminal operations of foreign terror organization Trende Aragua. This is.
And just one last time, if you're a Democrat, you want all those people to say you're actually activating to do it. You're actually protesting and hiring mariachi bands to do it. Standing on the corner and beating pots and pans in Washington, D.C. That's what it means to be a Democrat. I want Trende Aragua to stay so they can rape another 8-year-old. So they can take over apartment complexes by force and extort the people out of their rent money. That's what I'm for as a Democrat. That's what it means. Life is really that simple. That's who they are. All right, let's go to D.C. fraud now. Nick Sorter video breaking. D.C.'s police union chairman just confirmed that higher-ups will come to the scene. Higher-ups in D.C. Metro Police Department under Pam Smith, the brainless wonder who has no idea what chain of command means, under Muriel Bowser, will come, these higher ups will come to a crime scene of a violent crime and order officers on scene to write the crime up as a lesser offense or as a non-criminal offense. Play it for me.
So can you confirm for us that there have been police officers and detectives and members of law enforcement in D.C. who on the scene of crimes have been told, yeah, don't write that one down, or don't add that to the list, or put that down as a more minor offense.
Absolutely. That's one of the chief complaints of our members when we go around and talk to them, is that they respond to the scenes of these violent crimes. And inevitably, you'll have a captain or a commander or sometimes a lieutenant show up on the scene and advise them to take a report for a lesser offense. One of the things that we see them do often is sometimes there'll be a shooting or a stabbing, and if the victim is uncooperative with the police, which is not uncommon in some areas of the city, they'll be directed to take an injured person to the hospital report, which is not even a crime at all. It's an incident report. Sometimes you'll have a robbery. It'll be reported as a theft. Other times you'll have burglaries that are reported as unlawful entry or thefts. This is something that's been unfortunately part and parcel of the police department for some time, and we're very skeptical that these crime stats are accurate.
That's extraordinary. What is the motivation? Why are these commanders or higher-ups arriving on the scene during apprehensions and telling police officers to indicate something other than what actually happened at the scene?
Well, the only explanation could be to keep the crime stats down, because politically that's expedient for the police department and elected officials in the district. I mean, let's go back to how we got here, which is that in 2020, the D.C. City Council passed the Comprehensive Policing and Justice Reform Act, which was a sweeping piece of legislation designed to hamstring police officers, to reduce the size, scope, and responsibilities of police officers. In addition, it also prevented us from holding criminals accountable, even when they're convicted of crimes. And so now here we are 5 years later, the police department, with an authorized strength of 4,000 sworn members, we only have 3,180, leaving us with over 800 vacancies for the position of police officer. In order to make up for that gap, the police department uses 2 million hours of mandatory overtime to cover the demand for police officers. And so because of that, crime has skyrocketed in the district. And one of the things that we think is going on in the police department, which who knows how high up that those directives are coming from, is to make sure that these crime stats are reported in the most favorable way possible.
So again, everything that you hear is a lie. It's all manipulated statistical data. When Biden claimed that crime was down, is absolutely not down. It's manipulated data coming from the Uniform Crime Report, the UCR, out of the FBI, when 44% of police agencies were no longer reporting their crime. And crime still, they would claim a 12% drop. So actually, crime was going up 32%. Because 44% of it wasn't being increased. I mean, 44% wasn't being reported, and you had a 12% drop. So it's actually a 32% increase, which, by the way, mirrors the increase in the murder rate around the country, which was 25% under the Biden administration. And so what you have here, and I want everybody to understand this now from a law enforcement perspective. I know there's actually at least one other cop that's watching right now that's in the chat, and he'll get this too. And those of you with law enforcement experience, you'll get it. What happens when you have a crime scene? It's not, nothing is like TV. There's nothing like NCIS. Nobody actually gives a crap, just so you know. Nobody's like, my whole life is trying to solve crime. Nobody's like that, okay? Nobody does it. It's a job. Nobody's like that, okay? There's no Sherlock Holmes or anybody. It's hyperbolic saying no one gives a crap, but I mean, and to the extent where you have the detective at NCIS kneeling over the crime scene and weeping, okay, it's not happening. Okay, it's just not happening. So anyway, just letting you know, never saw it, never, you know, just the way it is. But anyway, what happens is you go there and you clear these calls, you clear them. You clear them in the way that, what I mean by that is you categorize them, and the category is how they are written. So you clear, there's a myriad, and most everybody in DC for sure, it's on a computer, and you can have all your paperwork in the car now, it's printed, you have a printer in your car, everything. So you clear the incident. If it's like people yelling at each other, it's cleared as a disturbance. If it's married people yelling at each other, it's cleared as a domestic disturbance. If it's Aaron punches Joe, it's a battery in the state of Florida, or assault, depending on which state you live in. If Aaron punches his wife, now it's a domestic battery. See, it's all classified. Okay, it's classified. Now what you can do is manipulate things that if Aaron knocked his wife's teeth out, and you wanted to cover it up, you do it as an injured person. Now it's not a crime. See? And that's what they're doing, because you're going to classify. You're going to have to classify. It's dispatched. Everything's computerized, so it's computer dispatched. There's no covering it up. Just like now, you can't get out of tickets anymore. When it's written, it's over. It's over. It's written. It's now digitized. It's on a computer. Back in the day, everything was paper, and tickets could disappear. But I digress. But anyway, so, I mean, that's how it works. So what the supervisors are doing in D.C. are coming up to these calls where you have a dead body, a person shot, but you have no suspect. So they say, well, take him to the hospital as an injured person. That's what they're doing. So that their murder rates go down. Their murder stats go down. Because it's politically beneficial for their rates to go down. That's what's happening. We had a 28% cut in murders, that's what they claim. No, they stopped reporting 28% of murders. Did everybody get it? Aaron, that's clear, right?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all they did. So just for the sake of 100, they have way more than that, but say of 100 murders a year in D.C. So they just go ahead and cut 28 of them. So now they have 72 murders per year. It's down 28%. Look at that. No, they just simply didn't report the other 28. They classified them as an injured person. There's a myriad of other ways to cover those things up too. So, I mean, that's what they're doing. They did the same thing with burglaries. They would have a burglary, which is basically a break. It depends on where you live. Breaking, what burglary means is unlawfully entering and committing a crime therein. It could be a vehicle burglary, smash and grab. They would just reclassify smash and grab burglary as a theft because they did steal something. So they classified it as theft. So you, now you're down. So again, you have 100 burglaries per year. They just classify 20 of them as thefts. So now you're down 20%. See? That is the way the whole world works. That's how the border worked under Biden. That's how all the elections work. You go to bed on election night, 2020, November 3rd, 2020. Trump's up by 700 and some odd thousand votes in Pennsylvania. You wake up. I did 3 hours. I went to bed 4 o'clock in the morning, got up at 7 a.m. And in those 3 hours, Aaron, when they stopped counting ballots, they continued to count, and Trump was now up by 1,400. Weird. It's all fake. Everything you see is fake. What did they do? They simply manifested ballots. There's none of those people voted. They just manifested the ballots. It's all on video and all called, it's just called absurd by Bill Barr. I never saw any evidence of the, Mules movie by Dinesh D'Souza. Oh, I never saw anything. None of that ever happened. It all happened. And then one other side with it, it's all fraud. Everything's a fake. Everything is. Everything. Till you get somebody who's a disruptor like Trump in there to reveal it all. That's why they hate him. Everything's fake. Everything is. And Muriel Bowser was one of the biggest proponents of defunding the police. And she's crying about not having enough police. Here she is, Mustang Media video. Here's the mayor of D.C. is terrified. She does not want Pam Bondi digging, but they are. Play for me.
With Channel 7. A couple questions.
Yeah.
Some messaging coming from the administration, the White House today, saying that D.C. is being made safer, and they put out some arrest numbers and numbers of guns being seized. How would you characterize this operation? Has it made D.C. safer?
MPD takes guns off the street every day and every week. And anytime you have a surge of officers, I would expect that you have some results. I say repeatedly, we need 500 more officers in D.C. With 500 more officers, get 500 more officers worth of results. And so what is not necessary, however, is this kind of commandeering of the attempted commandeering of the force itself. And the expanded, I think, work that is not related to violence.
So additionally, with this, the takeover.
What does that mean?
What coordination is there?
Let me correct you. There is no takeover. What there is a surge in federal law enforcement. And that surge in federal law enforcement necessarily has to coordinate with the Metropolitan Police Department under the leadership of Pamela Smith, the chief of police.
So, of course, you have the conflation right off the start. That's the number one weapon of Democrats, is to conflate one issue with another and therefore deflect the direct question. Is Trump making your streets safer because they're claiming all of these stats of taking guns off the street? The answer is yes or no. Simply answer the question. The answer, of course, is yes, because everybody around the nation, Democrats and Republicans, are actually singing Trump's praises because they feel safe in the city once again. And you have Chuck Schumer comes out and makes a video. I walk every day in the city and feel safe as can be. He has a fully armed security detail. He has four people standing around him with 9mm. So, yeah, he feels safe. I mean, typical Democrat. Doesn't apply to him. I feel safe, so there's not a problem. Yeah, you feel safe because you have a $200,000 a day detail that Joe pays for surrounding you. That's why you feel safe. But the rest of us don't have that, Chucky. Go learn to cook a burger with your husband. But anyway, so she does the typical conflation. The answer is yes. It's the cities have been, the streets have been made safer. But she goes, oh, we take guns off the street every day. That's not what you're asked. You weren't asked whether you do the same enforcement. You weren't asked whether you take guns off the street. You were asked, are the streets safer? Yes or no. She just answered the question. The streets are obviously safer. And the game. What's happening is. It's going back to their fraudulent numbers that they put in, just using simple arithmetic. What's happening is like I said before, is there's just, again, using very simplistic numbers. Say there's 100 murders a year. Well, they reclassify 20 of those murders as injured people, so they lower their murder rate by 20%. Now you have all these federal officers coming in there and now finding the additional crimes that weren't being counted before. So that's what's happening. So that's what's making up all these numbers, because they weren't claimed. Suddenly goes back to 100 murders again. And she doesn't want anybody to know that. So they're actually discovering the crimes that have been misreported. That's what's actually happening. Now, she doesn't want anybody to expose her criminal operation, because it's directly under her. It goes from her to her, weirdly not on stage there, Pam Smith, her chief of police, who doesn't know what chain of command means. And I just had Aaron make this picture, because where's the diversity on the stage? I like the one token white effeminate man at the left part of the stage. I love that guy there. Everybody else black. Well, how's that? How is that possible? How is it that five out of six people are black? Where's the diversity? I mean, I'm just curious. Where exactly is the diversity? There is none. Except I'd love to know what that guy. That guy probably is somebody's husband. I mean, say, hey, can you stand up here and act like you're a DC official so that people think we hire white people? Absolutely not.
He's the diversity chief.
He's the diversity chief. And here's the thing too. She was advocating for years to defund the police. And then she's claiming we need 500 officers. First of all, idiot, you need 800. Okay, because your staffing allotment is 4,000. You're supposed to have 4,000 cops. They have 3,100. So they're 3,180. So they're 820 cops short. And here's my question too, is DC's not that big. How is it that they require 4,000 officers? Because it is an absolute poop hole. That's why. Our nation's capital should not require 4,000 cops. And by the way, that doesn't count the Capitol Police. Capitol Police, which again, and everybody's heard this rhetoric from me. This is how you and I are thought of. This is how the bourgeois elitists think of themselves. Capitol Hill has 2,700 cops on Capitol Hill alone, a 2.5 square mile area. 2,700. All of DC has 3,000. May you hear this? 2 miles? 2,700 cops that they couldn't stop 1-6 from happening. So we just need 500 cops. So now she's complaining about the problems she caused. She caused all the cops to leave. Would you work in D.C.? You couldn't pay me to work in D.C. You could right now come and say, you know, we're going to offer you $1 million. You just be a street level cop. Absolutely freaking not. Because all you're going to do, they're going to find some way to get me on video doing something I'm not actually doing that they'll accuse me of doing. And I'll be sitting in front of Tanya Shuckin looking at 30 years in maximum, you know, in federal prison. Maximum security prison. No, thank you. I don't want any part of it. But that, I just love it. We need 500 officers. You ran off 500 officers. So you're going to try to solve the problem that you want, and you're trying to solve the problem that you caused? Speaking of DC, let me go over this before we go. Julie Kelly stuff. Julie Kelly video. So J6 celebrity cop Danny Hodges is back doing media hits, blasting Trump. This is a J6 cop. Trump administration for trying to keep DC safe. Play for me.
Sure would be nice if they backed the police then, right? That was an actual emergency that they could have activated the National Guard for, is sending them to back us up when we were trying to protect the Capitol, protect the Vice President, protect Congress. But, you know, Trump sat in his little chair and watched us get, you know, beaten on Fox. I had someone try to gouge out my eyes, had someone beat me in the head with my own baton. But apparently that was a national emergency. It's interesting that spitting is now something that we can use to justify, you know, extreme use of force. I don't understand how these people oscillate between these value systems. They're supposed to back the blue, and then they abandon us on the 6th, but now that it's convenient for them politically, they're all about it. It's they don't have a consistent ethical framework.
Do you think it's hypocritical?
Yeah, absolutely.
Officer Daniel Hodges, it's great to have you as always, even in your personal capacity. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Really appreciate
it. Of course, if you're Caitlin Collins, you have to make sure that you're obedient. You will esteem highly these fraudulent, perjurious, lying DC cops, whether they're Capitol Police or DC Metro. I don't know which one's which. So that you have to do that, or you don't qualify to be part of the bourgeois leftist elitist. You got to make sure you wear a mask. You have to esteem others. Right now, that happened yesterday. Wolf Blitzer, pimping and horn vaccines from the show yesterday. Pimping and horn vaccines. What COVID vaccine should we be taking now? I've got that, but I'm not going to get to it tonight. But anyway, so she has to make sure, you know, give him that effeminate man, typical effeminate man, make sure that she gives him his accolades. Thank you. Okay, what did he actually do? Well, let's get it. We talked about Michael Fanone. We talked about Harry Dunn. Aguino, Gunnell, all of their lying, perjuring. None of their body cam footage has ever been released. Why is it needs to be released now? Where's Pam Bondi? Now. I want to see Michael Fanone. He talks about how he was just so assaulted on the day of. There's no video footage at all. He had zero injuries. Dunn claims the same thing, zero injuries. Gunnell claims the same thing, zero injuries. Hodges claims the same thing. He's beaten in the head with his own baton, Aaron. Mm. Somehow walked away unarmed.
Weird.
Imagine beaten in the head with BR-24, unarmed. Beaten in the head with an Aspartan, unarmed. Okay, that, you're not going to walk away unarmed even if you have a helmet on. All right? I can just tell you that. So here he is, though, on J6. This is a little J6 footage. Here is the soft-spoken Donald Trump style. He's allowing people to be harmed because they spit on cops, and I just don't understand this. So you think, okay, he must be a real soft-spoken guy. No, Julie Kelly video, more from Hodges, soft-spoken, very nonviolent, right. More from Hodges, whose checkered shirt and nice guy soft-spoken routine belies the thuggery he demonstrated on January 6th. Here he is. Play it for me.
Make way! Make way! Make way!
These horrible J6ers are actually trying to help them, for one thing. I saw the one guy grab his baton. That never should have happened. But you know how you don't see now he's going through the crowd here? He's yelling, make way. Do you know how you can walk through the crowd without hitting people with your ass baton? Walk through the crowd without hitting people with your ass baton. There's plenty of room for him to walk around all these people as he's trying to get to some sort of incident. Instead, he makes sure that he's hitting everybody as he goes by with his ass baton. That he has in his hands, either an ASP or a PR-20, some sort of bastardized PR-24 or baton, whatever it is. But anyway, so that's, I mean, look at him. He's hitting people with his baton to get, there's plenty of room for him to walk, and he's with a bunch of other cops. There's no need for you to hit people with your baton. Somebody finally had enough of it. And then after he ends up on the ground, J6ers help him up, ask him how they can escort him out, tell him that he's outmatched, whatever it may be. But he claims to be, you know, victimized, that he was just really, really victimized. Let's go to the next one. Julie Kelly tweet. Here are the photos that he posted. Okay, now let me just tell you something. 25 years in law enforcement, I was in some fights. I got some injuries. You know what I never did, Aaron? Hmm. You know what I never did, Joe? Go to a mirror somewhere and take pictures of myself.
What?
And post them on social media. Who does this? Who on earth does this? This is, again, this is the victim of 1-6. Look at this wretched, horrible injuries. Terrible injuries, right? Here are the photos he posted on Facebook the next day, but took them on J6. Of his injuries from the previous day. No swollen hand, no large contusion on his head, even though he's beaten with his own baton. No evidence of an attempt to gouge his eyes out. Remember that? That was another assertion they made. I don't know if I let the first one play all the way through. Whatever. He said his eyes were attempted to be gouged out. Now, if someone grabs you by the head and tries to gouge your eyes out, how many of you know that would leave a mark?
Yeah.
A grown man tries to gouge your eyes out and you have no signs of injury. All right, so here's his injuries. Go to the first one for me, Joe. That's him in the mirror. Boy, he's just grievously injured, isn't he? Can't even see an injury on his entire body. No blood, no contusions, no bruises, nothing. He makes sure he goes like this, though. All right, go to the next for me. Here's the little boo-boo on his lip. Wow, what a horrible injury. He could have done that to himself. He could have plucked himself and done that. Wow, what a horrible injury. Go to the next one for me. Look at, how horribly injured this man is. Imagine taking that picture as if you're injured. I had a high school girl do mood damage to that to me when I broke up a fight.
I tripped and got more
because I walked up and I said, sheriff's office, stop. And you know what she said? And there are two girls fighting. She goes, I don't, this is a high school girl. I don't give an F. Turned around, just jacked me right in the face. Okay. I have way more injuries than that. From one shot from a backhand from a high school chick. She got me right in my neck. Okay. And listen, I was not, you can probably guess by watching this podcast, I was not a cop that took any crap from anybody. Okay. That girl obviously went right to jail. She was tackled immediately and taken to jail. But anyway, and charged with felony battery against a law enforcement officer. But anyway, way more damage from one shot from a 16-year-old, 100-pound high school girl than Danny. Hi, my name is Danny Hodges. I'm a D.C. Metro police officer. I'm part of the singing quartet. Okay, there's no injuries here. And that's what you post? Truly amazing. Go to the next one for me. He also lied, says Julie Kelly. That police had been seizing guns all day long. He posted that. There it is. Seizing, Aaron, let's tabulate it together because you and I have been covering this now for 4 years. How many guns were seized by the cops that day?
Pretty sure zero.
It's absolutely none. Yeah. To this day, not one gun was ever seized from one J6 protester or anybody involved in the protest. Not one. And yet he posts, they're seizing guns all day long. Danny also admitted the part. When his colleagues started throwing flashbangs and sting balls with rubber bullets into the crowd for no reason whatsoever, it's on video. Go to the next one for me. And here's what he posted on J6. I can do this all day. Boy, yeah. I've been involved in some emergency situations. I've been involved in some fights where I could have lost. You know what I'm not posting? Aaron, you know what I wouldn't be posting? I can do this all day. You know why I wouldn't be posting that? Because I'm in a fight.
Yeah.
I remember... the only time in my entire career I ever heard 1024 called at Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, which means every freaking unit in the county go to that. So people like you're in Sarasota. So people in downtown Inglewood are running code to that call from 30 miles away. Everybody. And you know what it was? It was a redneck wedding that I had to go to. And some people got into a fight. And once we got there, it's typical redneck situation. By the way, I love rednecks. I am one. I'm just saying, when he got there, the moment that the cops show up, even though they called us, they all turned on us. So this entire wedding, it was at an American Legion Hall. There was 250, 300 people there. They turned on us because we went in there as people fighting and we'd go to break up the fight and take people to jail. And then the people who called us to break up the fight turn on us and start fighting us. So I was surrounded by people. I had a girl come up behind me and grab me by the waist. I turned around, hit her right across her boobs with a flashlight. Wham! You know what I didn't type? I can do this all day. You know why? Because I didn't have time to type. I can do it all day. If you have time to type, I can do it all day. Then you're not really in a fight. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we were absolutely surrounded. There's people, bouncing everywhere. Guns out.
Oh my
One of our sergeants brought out his gun and just was waving it around the crowd, going, get back, get back. That's how bad it was. You know how many of us wrote on social media, I can do this all day? None of us. And there was no social media then. But, if we could have, we wouldn't because we're actually in a fight. So when you're not actually in a fight, you have time on J6 to go to your Facebook page and go, I can do this all day as the effeminate male that you are. All right, that's it, 1021. Too late, way too late. Ooh, look at all these rumble rats. Joe gets paid tonight because of the rant. All because of Jules, 21 hours. All because of Texas Billy, both $25. Mike Griffith, $25. D9597, $20. Nate Dad 1, $20. Greg Ninemon, $10. Skunk 71, $5. Thank you guys so much for the rant. Because of that, Joe gets paid, and we might end up even sending him to Applebee's because that's a really, really good rant tonight. But love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Much lighter than the show. But it's awesome. You'll love it. Back here tomorrow night at 9:00. Love you all. God bless you.